Well, I wonder, thank you, Bryn, for that reading. Wonder what captured your imagination when you heard that parable, and maybe it was, why is it so warm in this church? But so I know sometimes it's, okay, I need peanut butter, eggs, oh yeah. But anyway, if you are kind of readjusting, you might even just pull out your program and look at this parable, but I wonder, we have two stories, two parables. And was there anything in there that seemed interesting or strange or made you wonder or a word that jumped out at you? Please feel free to jump right in. Yeah, good point. Yeah. Some of us have some spare coins in the bottom of our purse. Yeah, Liz.
This fellow welcomes and then sinners and eats with them. But just that conclusion.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And I like the others grumbling in the corner. Yeah, what is it about this person who welcomes these sinners? Anybody else? Right. Right. That doesn't seem to make any sense, does it? Yeah.
To me, it's the shepherd that goes after one sheep. That's what I did when I was a shepherd. I found every night every sheep was in.
Okay. You went out and looked for every sheep. There's a story that Jeff Kidder, our lead musician over here, actually told in staff this week that really gets at what you're saying, Laura, about going out and looking for every sheep at the end of the day. And in 2010, Jeff was a chaperone for his son Jackson's youth trip to Chicago, and they were hooked up with an organization that worked with the homeless called Dream Center Bridge to Life. And they Jeff was also a driver as well as a chaperone, and we know what that means. No sleep and a long ride and a lot of junk food. But anyway, they arrived, and this ministry is headquartered in a church, and they first pulled up, and Jeff went in with the youth, and they were talking and so glad to be done with the trip. And Jeff noticed that there were four different people around this church just praying very quietly in what looked like prayer stations. There was a woman singing softly in the corner, and so he quickly hushed the group he was with and really felt like he was in a holy moment. And from there, after those prayers, the group got on a van, and they went out and drove to some overpasses, parked the van, and then the volunteers from this ministry literally ran out of the van, ran under the bridges, and started calling out the names of homeless neighbors that they knew lived there or were resting there. John, Susan, Bill. And they would keep calling their names as they were running, which Jeff found incredibly moving. And then when they would find people that they knew by name, they would then call the youth to come be with them and pray with them, talk with them, and maybe bring a bag lunch. And so I thought about connections, especially with the story of the shepherd looking for the one sheep. I thought about that sense of running, pursuing actively, calling out, and then rejoicing when people that you love and you know are found. In today's gospel, we just heard these two parables. We heard the parable about the shepherd who leaves 99 sheep to find the one. I don't think I'd hire that shepherd. And the woman who just tears her house up to find one coin, one drachma. And these stories are puzzling. I mean, they just don't make any sense to leave the 99 who might wander off. And then the woman finds this coin and then calls her friends and neighbors together and basically throws a party. So probably spends more than the one drachma getting hummus and tabbouleh and throwing a big party for everybody. And in both of these stories, the person who was looking for something that was lost, when the sheep is found, when the coin is found, all the neighbors and friends are called together to rejoice. And in the Middle East, this meant having a party with food. And the story that follows these two parables is actually a story of a son who insults his father, leaves, does everything you could possibly think of wrong, and then repents and comes back. And many of us know it as the story of the prodigal son. We'll hear it this Lent. We gather tonight on the 15th anniversary of 9/11, if you can believe it. We gather in a week where we're once again thinking about the Wetterling family, and Jacob's death was just really fresh again for us and our family and the grief there. Wars, conflicts, and violence continue in Syria, Yemen, in our inner cities, around the world. And many of us are wrestling with the recent diagnosis of Jeff Kidder, Connie Starnes, and many of our other friends and family members. And yet, I think our gospel is trying to tell us something. Jesus is trying to tell us that rejoicing is an important part of the Christian life. But I did wonder to myself, isn't it naive or insensitive to rejoice in the midst of all the sorrow and brokenness in our lives and in the world? But then I thought about these parables and Jesus' life and his relationships with the people around him, and I thought about the fact that God's grace is so incredible and so vast that God can overcome everything that separates us from God's love. In fact, the scriptures tell us that nothing can separate us from God's love. Not hatred, addiction, debt, or playing God. None of these things can separate us from God's love. Neither can illness, doubt, or despair. And none of us is so lost that God can't find us. God, like the shepherd or the woman who loses her coin, never gives up on anyone or anything. No matter what happens in our life or world, God is there, illuminating the darkness, creating a path forward, even if we can only see one step at a time, bringing healing and reconciliation when needed. And this is a reason to rejoice. All these are reasons to rejoice. One of the things that I love the most about this faith community is the rejoicing that happens when we see each other. It was so good to see all of you come through the doors again after our summer hiatus. In the morning, in the summer, I stand in the back of the church with Dan and the acolytes, and it's like a party. When everybody comes through, we're like high-fiving and shouting out everybody's name, and I'll never forget the Sunday that this guy showed up from the congregation without shoes, and an usher shouts out of the church, "No shoes, no shirt, no service." You know, everybody's teasing everybody back there. We have to close the doors because people are trying to pray in here, and we are so loud in the back, rejoicing with one another, and I love that. No matter whether we are people of privilege or not, suffering is universal. Over the course of our lives, we will have experiences and will face systems that devalue our worth and our neighbor's worth. But whatever we face, we have the opportunity to gather each week together to remember what God has done for us and God's unending love for us and for the world, and to rejoice. And we also have the chance to encourage one another by sharing what God is up to, even in the difficult moments of our lives. One of the main ways that we experience God's love is by being loved by one another. I think that's what takes the intellectual thought of God's love and takes it into concrete reality. We are experiencing that love through one another. And we're able to love one another and our neighbors because God meets us in one another and in the Eucharist. As we begin another fall together, let us remember God's love for us, a love that defies common sense, the love of a shepherd in pursuit of one sheep, or a woman in pursuit of one coin, the love of a God who runs toward us, calling out our name and rejoicing when we are found. Amen.